Our first reading is from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. And our gospel reading is from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter the first chapter. I invite you to stand as you are able. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandal. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart, and the Spirit descending like a dove on Jesus. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I'm going to preach from the baptismal font tonight, and again, really trying to focus on this idea of water, of chaos, of order, and renewal. So chaos, are any of you familiar with chaos these days? Politics, you might say. Yes, but you don't really have to look that far, do you, to find chaos? Isn't your life a bit chaotic right now due to a pandemic? Even if you're feeling bored and isolated, your world, our world, has been turned upside down by the chaos of this pandemic. Chaos can take many forms. It can take the form of family drama. It can take the form of marriage and family dysfunction. Chaos can take the form of teenage rebellion, or it may have nothing at all to do with human behavior. Chaos comes through events, weather events, floods and fires, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes. They can all bring instant chaos to the life, turning it upside down without our asking for it at all. Or it might even be more personal than that. Chaos can come in the form of personal economic strangulation or economic collapse, economic bankruptcy. Chaos is so often, too often, very close to the surface, lurking, stalking, preying on. What are we to do? If you didn't know it, chaos is a biblical concept too. We're told in Genesis, this reading from Genesis, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth, we're told, was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. This is the Bible's definition of chaos. Formlessness, emptiness, darkness, lifelessness, trapped in and of itself. This equals chaos according to Scripture. Darkness, nothingness, no life, no light, only the formless void of a discombobulated matter. Creation, then, is chaos reordered. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Light came into the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it, we're told in John's Gospel. God then saw that the light was good. He separated the light from the darkness, and he called the light day, and he called the night, or the darkness, night. God brought order into the midst of chaos, and from that order, the ordering of light, all life came into being. There are many times in Scripture when chaos threatens to reemerge, when it threatens to rise up and to reclaim its reign, the reign that it had before God created the heavens and the earth. The flood that we read about in the Exodus, or in the later in Genesis, the flood is an example of such a time when all is destroyed except for Noah and his family and the animals who, in order, were marched onto the ark two by two. All life returned to chaos on earth, and that life was destroyed. Wars bring chaos. Wars are an attempt by one side to rain down chaos on the enemy in such a way that it destroys the enemy. We hear prayers for this kind of thing in the Psalms themselves. And so whether it was King David at the helm in the ancient times of the nation of Israel, or whether it's General Petraeus in modern times, chaos upon the enemy is the desired outcome of any general. Chaos, it seems, is not just a product of nature. It is not only a tool in the hands of men and women or a weapon of war. It seems as though chaos is also a tool in God's hand, a tool used by God to turn people back to God, away from their sinful destinations, away from death and darkness, to turn them to God's self. We hear this in the story of the flood, in the story of the nation of Israel being exiled into Babylon or Persia. Chaos. Chaos is messy. It hurts. It stinks and it's deadly. Chaos. Are you familiar with it? I've started watching the Netflix series Gotham. It is a prequel to the life of Batman. And one of the things that you can count on in this series, like in life itself, although in the series it's much more dramatic, it's much more prevalent. The one thing that you can count on in this series is chaos. There is chaos in Gotham. There's chaos in the Arkham Asylum, an insane asylum. There is chaos on the streets. And when Jim Gordon isn't contributing to the chaos, he is fighting against it. He's fighting against it on behalf of himself and the city, the residents of Gotham. Chaos. Are you familiar with it? While God participates, even uses chaos, it seems that God's preference is never chaos, but order. God said, "Let there be light," and from that ordering of the heavenly bodies, from that ordering of the day and the night, life came forth. God harnessed the chaos of the formless void. God ordered it and brought forth life. Life comes from order. Chaos destroys life. Order brings and supports life itself. I doubt that you've ever thought about this, but have you ever thought that baptism too is a moment when God uses chaos to bring forth life? We see in Jesus' baptism by John, as Jesus comes up out of the chaotic waters, and that's one thing we have to understand about water in the scriptures, is that water is typically, it is either connected to the waters, the primordial waters of chaos, or it's connected to water from God that nourishes and refreshes. Those are the two purposes of water. And Jesus is in the waters of the Jordan. He comes up out of those waters, and we're told that the heavens are torn apart. Violence rips apart the heavens. And the Spirit descends upon Jesus like a dove. The dove of peace. The dove of blessing. Chaos. The heavens are opened up. And order comes forth through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the ordering of Jesus' life, as he hears the words from heaven, the voice from heaven, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased." In our baptisms, in your baptism, we often think that all that happens is what we can see. A cute baby comes to the water, and water is sprinkled upon that child, and life is declared. But what really happens in holy baptism is that we witness death by drowning. We witness chaos. We acknowledge chaos. We confess chaos. Chaos that's within ourselves, within that little baby. We are born children of a fallen humanity, we confess. That's chaos. We were born as part of the chaos. And in the waters of baptism, that sinful self is drowned. And we trust that as that child is drowned in the waters, that God has a hold of that child and raises them up, raises us up to new life in him. The sinful self, the old Adam, the old Eve is drowned. And God raises up a new creation out of those waters. God, who brings order out of chaos, brings hope to our broken lives. God brings life out of death. Indeed, God has a hold of that little one. God has a hold of you and me. God has a hold of all who walk through the waters of baptism. And we trust that each time we baptize, the heavens are torn apart again, and the Spirit descends like a dove upon that baptized one, and life is given purpose and meaning and blessing as the words from God are spoken. You, child, are mine. You are mine forever. God arranges our lives. He orders our lives so that we can live in relationship with him anew, not only once, but every day. As we are connected with Jesus in a death like his, we proclaim we are also connected with him in a resurrection like his. This is the promise of baptism. In Jesus, chaos gives way to order, and order makes a way for life, and life gives way to a new reality, the kingdom of God. You are mine. It is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. When you fight against the chaos, you serve God's will. When you heal a brother or sister, or forgive a brother or sister who has hurt you, you are part of that reign, and you are part of the ordering of life that brings forth life. When you use your life to bring healing to another, you are part of the reign of God. The ordering of that rain. As you feed a hungry neighbor, you are part of God's order. As you encourage those who are downtrodden, as you pray and submit yourself to God's will, you are part of that rain of life. As you love beyond yourself, you are part of that rain of life. Dear friends, return to these waters. Return to these waters every day. Die to yourself and let God, trust that God has a hold of you and that he will raise you up anew again and give you a new beginning each and every day as his child. God wants you to be a contributor, not to the chaos, but to the order of life. May the chaos of life always drive you back to God. And in him, in Jesus, you will find order, you will find calm, you will find peace and joy, even as the storms of life rage. Trust in him, and he will hold on to you. Amen.